The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin alongside everybody, producer number nine. So much more than a producer.
Heyo.
Who was it back behind the glass that said you've changed in Sturgis and Caicos?
Rob Moreno
says you've changed.
He's very critical of me, though, always.
We coming up, Fezzik Fridays, Chris Felica standing by to give his Derby and Oaks plays and whatever else he's betting. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate this. Jeff Cam, love Jason, but he looks homeless. Wow.
Yeah, but you haven't seen his shoes. So
Jeff, he speaks very highly of you. Jeez.
Yeah.
Tronsky, what I think Gil and Drew have failed to mention in the recent EGA struggles is how the field has drastically improved over the last year and a half. Similar to ATP, WTA goes through peaks and troughs of talent. EGA took advantage of a trough. I was with you to that last line, because that's like sort of saying Tiger took advantage of that in golf as well. Yeah, he was just so far better than everybody else that then it appears that way. That was EGA. EGA shows up. She goes to number one in the world. She wins 23 tournaments. She wins 5 majors. Yeah, eventually they'll catch up with her. But I don't know about taking advantage of a trough. What I will give you is she did get lucky that Ash Barty retired. I do concede that point. That was definitely a help. Big Kahuna. Bucks have only one option. Trade Giannis to OKC for some of the picks they have. They have a ton. Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
Need players, too. No. The one I'm secretly hoping for is the Spurs.
The Spurs. You are obsessed with the thought of Giannis and Wemby playing together.
Yeah. Because you could just build whatever you want around them on offense. Good luck attacking that defense.
The OKC thing, is there such a thing as too much? Would that work?
There's definitely a thing is too much. I think we've seen it over the past 15, 20 years with some of the big threes and stuff that have been assembled of who's going to get the ball and usage rates and stuff like that.
I said this all the time. Basketball's a funny thing. You've got 5 guys on a court. There's an optimal efficiency. If you had a team of 5 that was Bird, Magic, Jordan, Oscar Robertson, and Wilt, you're not scoring 300 points.
Right, yeah. I think the perfect example of Oklahoma City is, okay, Giannis goes there. Sure, I think Giannis and Shea are great, but does it stunt the development of a Chet Holmgren? Probably, absolutely.
Probably does. Yeah, has some sort of, you can't really quantify the effect in some cases. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him as the Bear, El Oso. He is at Fox Sports now. Once upon a time, he was at ESPN. Maybe known more for college football than anything else, but if there was only one sport he could handicap, if you held him to one sport for the rest of his life, his answer will always be horse racing. It's Chris Felica, everybody. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A, on the old Twitter machine. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, and I want to ask you a quick question, just because if you were someone, hypothetically, that was holding a Jack Draper at 28-1 to win Madrid, and now he's in the semis today against Musetti, who's the better clay player, but this court seems to be playing a little bit more like a hard court. Like, what would you, in theory, do today?
Musetti has overperformed his numbers the whole tournament. Something happened to him in Monte Carlo where his entire brain changed, and he's considering himself a top 10 player, and he's playing out of his gourd at this point. So what do I mean by that? I mean that I can't properly tell you how good he is. He's a plus 147 dog. I would be terrified. Draper, to me, is still the guy to win this tournament at this point. In the semis, but I'd be a little terrified today. I don't know if that answers your question, but I would.
A little terrified is probably the way I'm seeing it too. So yeah, I'm thinking about putting a nice little pre-flop on Musetti to cover my investment and maybe make a little bit off of it. Well, but looks like Rude took the first set against Cerundolo today as well.
Yeah, Rude, of course, traditionally with great clay numbers as well. So they're in the semis in Madrid and then the finals on the WTA side, which is Sabalenka and Coco, with Sabalenka very short favorite at minus 125. Interesting. Okay, Kentucky Derby, sir. The run for the roses. The fastest 2 minutes in sports. Go. What do you got?
Where to start? I hate landing on the favorite in this race, but I can only envision 4 horses of this field. I know Drew was talking about how deep it is I can only see four horses winning this race. I can see Journalism win. I can see Sovereignty win. I can see Besa, who just drew in today, win. And I can see Luxor Cafe win. I think the winner comes from one of those four horses. You can knock Journalism for only facing a couple of five-horse fields, but he's got the proper profile for the runner that I think is going to win this race. So I'm going to key Journalism first and second in the exacta. What that means basically is I need Journalism to finish first or second, and then I'm going to need either Luxor Cafe, Publisher, Tiztastic, Cole Battle, who may or may not run. I've heard some conflicting reports there. And then Beza, one of those horses to run second. Or Cole Battle, Luxor Cafe, Beza to win, and then Journalism to finish second. That's the main way I'm betting this race. And then I'm going to wind up doing a smaller exacta key with either with Sovereignty to run first or second with those same horses. And then I'm going to have that trifecta that was put up there with Journalism keyed first and second with those same horses in the other spot, and then and filling it out. I've tweeted this out, so if you haven't had a pen and paper to jot down your notes, if you look at my Twitter feed, I have a long thread there that has a lot of things laid out. So hopefully we come across some winners. But yeah, I heard American Promise. He did pass the vet report, and the stewards voted, I guess, 2-1 to allow him to run. So take that for what it's worth.
All right. Journalism, Sovereignty, Baeza, and Luxor Cafe, the four horses that you think can win this.
100. Yeah, like if you're gonna play some pick fours or whatever, those would be the four that I would use. But again, I hate landing on the favorite in this type of race. But outside of questioning just the short field, he's got two of the best speed figures of anyone in the race. He's got a great running style, a really good trainer, a great post. Like, unless it pours to overnight and tomorrow, and he hates the off going, or if he gets left at the gate or just gets corralled, that's racing. That's the Kentucky Derby. It happens. But he just checks every box for me.
All right. The 151st running of the Kentucky Derby tomorrow, first Saturday in May. Kentucky Oaks. We go to the Kentucky Oaks, where Good Cheer, as Drew mentioned, undefeated filly, is the very short favorite. How are you going on the Oaks?
Yeah, a lot of people are knocking Good Cheer just because she hasn't, like, I don't want to say improved or really wowed with the speed figures, but she goes out and visually you watch her, and she just takes care of business. She's someone who can be right up on the lead. She can come from well off the pace. She can be in that first flight as a stalker. Again, I think she is the most likely winner, but I do think there are four long shots in here that has an opportunity to win this race and certainly crack the exacta. The number one horse early on, who's 30-1, who ran second. We gave her out on a numbers game a couple of weeks back in the Gazelle, and she ran too good to lose that day. She's 30-1. I think she can improve today. Fondly is another horse who's 20-1, who's going to kind of be coming from just off the pace. Tenma, the horse that Drew also mentioned. I am in full agreement with Tenma. Second race off of a layoff, Bob Baffert. This horse should improve in this start. And then Take Charge, My Lady, for Ken McPeak, who won this race last year with Torpedo Anna. She is rumored to have a little bit of a foot issue a couple weeks back, which caused her to scratch, but reportedly she's doing well. So I'm going to play Good Cheer in the exacta, first and second, with those four horses in the Oaks tomorrow. And by the way, Torpedo Anna, who I had mentioned, she runs today in a stakes race at Churchill Downs. I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to look to beat her today. I think she is very vulnerable today. I think both of the Chad Brown horses in that race have an opportunity to win. And if you're looking to maybe play some pick fours and pick fives later in the day, maybe take a stand against Torpedo Anna, because I think she might be a little short today.
All right. The Oaks is today. The Oaks is today for those who are wondering also. Okay. Fastest 2 minutes in sports is the Derby. This is the fastest 2 minutes in handicapping right now for the rest of these races. Today, perfect. The Eight Bells, the ninth race. What do you got?
The Eight Bells. The Eight Bells is today. Like I said, I'm going to look at the 11 horse, look forward at 12-1 on the morning line. She's 2-for-2 sprinting, and I think the cutback from a mile and a 16th to 7 furlongs will be good for her. We're going to move to tomorrow. Churchill Distaff Turf Mile, that's the fifth race. I think the five horse, Five Towns, second off of a layoff. She's run huge those couple of instances as well, though she's had second off of a layoff grab motion, gets Herrera Ortiz Jr., who's the best finisher in the business. The turf sprint tomorrow, the seventh race, the number 11 horse, Amon. Drew wide, you're going to need a little bit of pace help and a clear path, but if Amon can avoid getting hung out too wide, I think has a good shot. The American turf, the ninth race, the number 12 horse, Golden Avenue, who's 20-1. I think the favorites in that race are very, very vulnerable. The pace doesn't look super fast. I'm throwing a line, drawing a line through Good Afternoons or Golden Afternoons last race. Never really comfortable with rank. Mike Smith is very good on the front end. She might get brave and have a big say in the outcome. Derby City Distaff, the 10th race, the number 7 horse, Vava, is 6-1 on the morning line. I'm not sure we're going to get 6-1. She's 4-4 at Churchill Downs. Last year, she was great. She won this race. Then her final two races of last year, the Ballerina, didn't necessarily run well on a speed-favoring track. Disappointed at Del Mar. Never really liked the surface. So I'm going to come back with her today. And then redistricting in the Turf Classic, the 11th race, the 4 horse. I absolutely love this horse. I doubt we're going to get 10-1, but this horse should be flying late for Chad Brown in the race just before the Derby tomorrow.
He called Golden Afternoon Golden Avenue. I don't feel so bad now.
Hey, exactly. My brain is mush right now. I just got done like retweeting my entire article for .com. Hey, I know you have the Sharp Plays with one of your sponsors now. Can you ask them what happened to Mr. Poison? Remember last year during the NHL playoff, like Mr. Poison's plays were like all over the place. He was like one of those like guys like
we're on it.
Fade.
We're on it. We gotta go, Chris. I will absolutely do that. Chris Felica, everybody. Fezzik next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Smarter bets start here and last all year long with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, we're slashing the price of our annual subscription. Normally $240, now just $199. And when you sign up today, we'll throw in 2 extra months for free. How about that? That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code PRO. That's P-R-O. Get 14 months of access to our daily best bets. That's our daily best bets from VSiN host and guest, exclusive splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 live video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our special edition betting guides like our new Kentucky Derby betting guide. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now and use promo code PRO to lock in 14 months of VSiN Pro for just $199. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Ladies and gentlemen, by popular demand, it's time for Fezzik Fridays.
Whether it's at the sportsbook or anywhere else in the casino, he's always helping us find an edge. It's time for Fezzik Fridays.
What do you have to say for yourself, sir? You got your own music intro now.
One polar bear against 3 gorillas. Steel cage match. Who you got?
Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Fezzik, only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. Say it again. What was it?
One polar bear, 3 gorillas, steel cage match.
Well, as I like to, as the old adage goes, Steve, styles make fights. And the polar bear has a claw. This would apply to any bear against a gorilla.
I think he might have 4.
Yes, and so that's the issue, is that the polar bear could stave off the gorilla with the claw, and the gorilla wants to get close in to unleash his punches, and he won't be able to get in close.
Kelly did some artificial intelligence research on this, and apparently the draw is not a bad bet where everyone dies.
You're talking about the 100 men now?
No, we're talking about the polar bear and the 3 gorillas all meet their demise from the injuries the fight. Yes, but as far as the 100 men, just to put it to bed, as long as they have like some like militaristic training, they don't even have to be strong. They're if they're in a forest preserve, the gorilla could just like go away from them. But if it's in closed confines, the humans always win because they just tackle the gorilla and like 10 or 12 of them get sacrificed.
Oh, sure. It shouldn't be an issue. I love the certainty with which you talk about such things. You're like, you're so convinced you're right on this.
I did research on the internet, and the conclusion is like, as long as all the humans work together and jump on the gorilla, it's just too much, you know, in terms of, you know, the volume. But obviously, if you put like 100 panicked humans that aren't working together, they're all going to get slaughtered.
and the gorilla could tire out at some point. I will concede that point as well. You wanted to do some guest on guest crime. You were not happy with Jason's breakdown of this.
I thought it, There was one time there's like a Survivor Series and Rick Rude, just a very good wrestler. And they're like, Rude is having an off night. And this was like Jason with this gorilla analysis. So he, like, you're like, okay, and so no weapons. And then Jason's like, well, they could have these 4-pound steel tipped boots that they could throw. A Verlander could throw at the gorilla's head.
I said to him, I go, no weapons, Jason. And he comes back, he goes, and then you can have 100 relief pitchers.
And then bad Leroy Brown can take the razor out of his shoe and use that, you know, against the gorilla. And it's like, you know, it's interesting. There is a precedent for this in the original Star Trek TV show. Captain Kirk takes on a gorillian type creature called a Gorn. Although I think it was more reptilian, but extremely strong, like a gorilla, one-on-one, and Kirk won because he was able to use weapons.
Wow. That is a precedent, isn't it? Yes. From Star Trek. The original Star Trek. The best Star Trek, the original series, would you say?
Oh, but absolutely. Way ahead of its time in terms of even, there's one episode where these aliens have half their faces black, half is white.
Yes.
And they've been fighting for hundreds of thousands of years.
Social commentary. That's right.
And Kirk says, I don't get it. You guys seem to have the same values. And like, why, what's your beef? Why have you been warring? No. And the guy says, are you blind? The right side of my face is white.
Yeah. Genius. Absolutely genius. Okay. Well, I wasn't going to start with 100 men versus gorillas, but here we are. Let us segue to another animal, horses. You are a sports bettor, as we know, but you are not one to bet on horses. You find this to be a fool's errand.
I don't want to be the gambling police. And it's fine to put your $5 and your trifectas and your exactas and have a good time with the like. But in my opinion, it's beyond naive to think that you can just like get some expert that's also doing the NBA and MLB and golf and everything. And he's going to give you Kentucky Derby plays and that you have the advantage. And the reason being, it's not that they're not doing their homework and working really hard. The house vig is just so high on all this. And I get it. They're saying, well, this is the one time of the year. There's so much public money that can come in. I agree in theory, but that 18% track hold is just too much.
Yeah. The dumb money theory for why you bet the Derby. And I brought up earlier with Drew, which I know you love this, is a Rich Strike 3 years ago out of the 21 post position was an alternate. We, again, a whole week's worth of content prattling on about the Derby, right? Podcasts, shows on TV,
best
dedicated.
Who you like? Horse 1 through 20.
And literally no human being could have made a bet on that horse the entire week of doing this.
Yes. So if you made every single recommended bet on who won the race or the exactas or the superfectas, everything, you bageled. You got nothing back.
Nothing bad. But now that was an 80-1 horse, as it turned out, Rich Strike, which, by the way, is the second longest shot in the history of the Derby to win. Mm. Can you name the longest shot?
Upset. I don't know.
Oh, good guess, though. Good guess, because the term upset comes from. No, 1913. Who could forget it, Stevie? Donna Rail won it at 91-1, but Rich Strike at 80-1 3 years ago. Now, the horse that is in the alternate post position, 21st position this year, Baeza, is a known horse that is only 12-1. So I don't know. You're looking at me like I'm still not betting.
So time to update some podcasts. Hey, matchups, horse versus horse. I'm all for that. Where they're -115 in each direction, and now I don't have to buck an 18% house edge. Yes.
This is kind of related, but not related, because you had just brought in someone who's handicapping another sport with the Derby and horse racing. We are in the middle of we're almost at the end of the first round of the VSiN Killer Sports NBA Challenge, the NBA Playoff Challenge. Right now, most people have a game left. Some of us are done with the first round, all 20 picks. And then there's Aaron Renning, who might not get all his 20 picks in if the Warriors series is not extended. I guess he could do, no, he could get it in because he got the seventh game. So he could still get his 20 picks in.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. But Doug Kazarian in the lead at 14-5. You're in second in the clubhouse, 13-7. And then Kelly and Alex Christensen, 12-7 and 12-8 respectively in third place. Followed by VSiN's own Zach Cohen and JVT, both at 11-9. It should be pointed out Kyle Aiken's in there as well, 11-8. You have a, this is not just this contest, but there's other contests that we do as well. You have a broad point you'd like to make about these contests, sort of shedding light on some things.
Yeah. So isn't it remarkable how you know, I'm listening on the airwaves, and it's not just, you know, the stations, all the stations, and everybody's winning. All of these services are winning. All right. Everyone,
Twitter specifically, nobody ever loses.
No one ever loses. Yeah. Everyone is crushing it. Yet as soon as you put everybody into a public contest, be it the Westgate or be it, you know, the Circa Millions, isn't it remarkable how you aggregate all these people that are in this contest, and they're above 500 typically by a few games. Like they're hitting like 50 to 52%. Yet everybody wins when they're not in the public contest, when they go ahead and self-document themselves. Interesting.
Interesting. You would also, though, concede, and this is a little different than what you're talking about, but it's related, which is contests are not the same as actual real betting, right? So James Salinas is a great example. James Salinas is like, I'm great at contests, but I'm not necessarily a great bettor. He's upfront with that kind of thing. You and I have talked privately about some of the really good NBA handicappers, two that we think are above the fray here, that when it comes to the contest, if they fall a few games behind, they don't have the contest brain to play game theory at that point to win said contest, that they will still hold fealty to the way that they handicap and not use game theory. So it's a different endeavor.
Exactly right. You just use an example. So like Aaron Redding has been very sparse with his selection. So he's just barely going to be able to get enough selections before the first round ends. And he'll forfeit those games if he doesn't get to 20. Well, there was hitting a point where literally I was saying, well, wait, he's fine, because if he's got a situation where he needs, you know, there to be a game seven in a series, you know, where he's going to forfeit picks. Well, boom, I'm going to go ahead and shove with the favorite game six that needs to win, right? Because yeah, that way, if I forfeit a pick, I'm not going to win this contest anyways. So it just makes sense to game theory like that.
So I love this part about you. You've already declared that there's only a certain number of players that can win this contest. Now there's 18 after this round, there's 18 picks left for everybody else throughout the duration of the NBA playoffs. But you have proclaimed that only six people can win this.
I think it's up to, I know I said six, but now I think it's seven. If you're above 500, I think you're live. If you're 500 or below, you've essentially been eliminated. Let me use an example. It's like let me use an example of the Masters. It's like the Masters. We have 18 holes left, yeah, 18 picks, and Doug Kazarian's nine under. Okay.
Yeah.
He's plus nine.
Yeah.
So he's nine under. So how much of a chance does a golfer have that's at par to catch a guy that's nine under, unless it's Greg Norman? Not much.
Except for the fact that this isn't as hard as golf. You could get on a birdie streak here. But in a way that you can on golf.
You cannot get on an eagle streak, and your opponent cannot get an eight on number 12.
That is true as well. Coming back, Fezzik, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Steve Fezzik alongside. Don't forget, looking for a new way to feel the rush this Kentucky Derby. First bet is your front row seat to the fastest 2 minutes in sports and so much more. Bet on the Derby and hundreds of other races every day at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. New users can use promo code VSiN200 to grab a $200 sign-up bonus. Get ready, the Derby starts at firstbet.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. This is from Nash, last name Nash. Not sure what Jason dislikes more, horse betting or the post office. It's great. Off in the dark, Gil, if you were handicapping the guest most likely to try and talk through the break and have to get the we gotta go, who's the favorite? Felica, strangely, and he's a guy in broadcasting, he strangely runs into the wall often. But Dr. Bob has that as well. And I have to prepare for Bob, because Bob's answers are always in 4 minute length. He's always very thorough. So if I only have 2 minutes on the clock, I have a real dilemma every time Bob's on, because I'm like, I don't know what to do here.
Play by play commentary, the end of the Jacksonville State La Tech game.
Yeah, Hail exactly.
Mary. Yes.
But the answer to your question historically is the worst. There was a couple of worst offenders into the wall. J.J. Redick was on a numbers game once, and he just kept going. And I'm like, J.J., I know you're going to be the coach of the Lakers one day, but I got to go, buddy. That was J.J. Redick. That's a good one. Roger Jones, I cannot read that. That is very funny, but I cannot read that on air. Ryan Hyatt, the big wild card in the polar bear versus three gorillas is the fact that one of those gorillas will turn midway through the bout and team up with the polar bear. Then it's all over. Heck, they travel together. Gil, you should have seen that coming. Kelly Bidlin has tweeted in. He says, longtime listener, first time caller. He says, I hear your director, Savannah, wants to know that if wants to know if Fezzik played Dungeons and Dragons when he was younger, and how good was he? Like the goat?
I had the 4-sided die, the 6-sided, the 20. Yes, absolutely.
You are the quintessential D&D player. Uncle Bush, my analogy for the Derby is trying to bet the exact outcome of the first three basket scorers and method which they score in an NBA game, except there's 20 guys on the court at the time, or more topically, which of the 100 men will deliver the final blow to the gorilla? Oh, man, that was all over the place. Keto Walker, good morning. If sports bettors followed the Jason Weingarten rule of thumb, stop playing what you never win, sportsbooks would be more polite, more courteous, and give more incentives to bettors just to keep their doors open. Rick Ollier, can we get more nerd talk with Fezzik? I want to know if the Gweeblers, with or without their power swords, from the 8th episode of season 72, can defeat the gorilla. Thanks. Is that a Star Trek question? Rhodes knows. Steve was really critical of the Jaguars' pick of Hunter. What type of year would he have to have for Fezzik to admit that he was wrong, or to say that he was wrong?
Oh, he could be the MVP. They'd still be wrong, because we're really not sure if Travis Hunter's going to be a great player or not. But the point is, basic strategy, it's like blackjack. You have A7 and the dealer's a 9. You must hit. So regardless of whether you get a 3 or not, the outcome is irrelevant to the fact you don't mortgage your future to move up 3 picks in the first round.
Okay. One more here. Spence. Fez has a great point on people who self-document. I heard so many experts go hard on the Lakers to blow away the T-Wolves. At the end of the day, a certain percentage of good old-fashioned luck comes into play. Okay, yesterday when Crack was here, Bill Krakenberger.
Love the Crack Man.
Who doesn't love the Crack Man? Each and every Thursday here on A Numbers Game at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, Crack spends an hour with us. But we got into this whole discussion about this kid who won $800,000 making various bets and how the casinos are trying not to pay him. That's basically
some of the casinos.
Some of the casinos are. Is it all of them or some?
One of them paid. One of them paid like $135,000.
Oh, okay.
No problem.
So he got something out of it.
Yes.
Okay. So the commissioner of sports betting, Captain Jack Andrews, I believe he still has that in his bio that I call him that. He DM'd me because apparently, and by the way, apparently I raised my hand. I was not nearly thorough enough with this because we were just sort of reading it on the fly. And there were some things I didn't know about this. And Captain Jack has set the record straight on this. Would you like to hear it?
Please.
Here we go. He said, hey, Gil, caught the segment with Crack about the kid in Chicago. Couple points to add to the story. One, the kid did present ID and file a W-9 on multiple occasions when Caesars asked him to, when they realized he was going over the thresholds. His play, as far as I can perceive it, that's Jack talking, was to bet on a team at the current spread and then parlay the look-ahead lines on that team, surmising that the look-ahead line would be less given their recent win. It's the kind of thing a 24-year-old might think is a plus EV parlay, of course. However, a chain is only as strong as the weakest link. So the EV here is less than the guy thinks, maybe even minus EV. He ran good, in other words. Caesars, this is Jack talking here, Caesars is citing structuring to avoid FinCEN rules. But as Fezzik points out, that's on Caesars to detect and protect. And it appears they actually took steps. So for them to toss that back on the bettor is a weak argument. He goes on to say, Caesars is also citing multiple duplicate wagers to circumvent limits. However, again, this is Caesars' problem, not the bettor's. To have house rules that are subject to the objective opinion of Caesars is really poor rulemaking, and Indiana Gaming shouldn't permit that. If you make two different parlays, including the same key team, is that a violation? If you bet a team at -3, it moves to -3.5, and you bet them again, is that a violation? It's ambiguous at best. The Indiana Gaming Commission has said the bettor acknowledged his bets were subject to be voided when he contacted them. See, I didn't realize he did that. However, the bettor has produced the original email in which he acknowledged they may be voided, and he wanted to avoid being free-rolled, which is what happened. The bettor got no mediation from the Indiana Gaming Commission other than a blanket reply that the sportsbook is governed by house rules, and if he's in violation of the house rules, then they back the sportsbook. He finally goes on to say he does have a case that seems destined for courts. He has a case both against Caesars for having ambiguous house rules and against the IGC, the Indiana Gaming Commission, for failing to establish unambiguous house rules by one of their operators. Interestingly, he probably didn't commit fraud because his wagers were likely minus EV, and thus Caesars cannot prove damages resulting from the fraud. This is a likely case of a bettor who got lucky and an operator looking to find a reason not to pay because the details of how he bet seem suspicious to them. Thank you, Captain Jack Andrews, for that unbelievably thorough description there.
I love that description. I actually disagree with some of it, though.
Okay.
It's irrelevant whether it's a plus EV or a minus EV.
I would agree with that.
All right. Yeah. And by the way, I did speak with Bob Nersessian, gaming lawyer here.
Not just a gaming lawyer.
The guy, if you have a beef with the casino and like, you know, talk to him, and he is extremely confident this whole structuring thing is absolutely not the case, and it's not my job. I go gamble in a casino. I go gamble in Circa, right? And I'm buying in for amounts. And he was adamant it's getting paid out that actually is the structuring aspect. Actually putting the money down is not. No one's ever going to get in trouble for like betting lots of money in a casino. And guess what? People do that all the time. They don't have to come and say, "Hey, by the way, just making sure you're filling out the proper paperwork and doing your job." You know, it's not the patron, the gambler's job. You know, the one unclear aspect of this is that if there are rules that clearly state, hey, you know, $500 limit on kiosks, you know, that you can bet on, all right, and you're going above those rules.
And sometimes those are posted.
Willy Wonka style, you know, it's in the photostat copy and the rules, you know, get out your magnifying glass and you can read, hey, then you do have a situation where the casino could have a voidable option where they could say, all right, you went over these rules and we are going to go ahead and lock up these tickets and refund them. We're not going to, because you went over the limits. But that, just because you have a voidable contract doesn't mean you can pass post someone and wait until the actual culmination of the results and then only void it if the person loses. I'm using an analogy. Two of them. If this kid had just loved the Cubs and he'd gone and bet the Cubs to win the World Series over and over, over and over and over again and circumvented all these limits, 500, 800, 300.
It's like my Atlanta Braves to win the division a few years ago where I bet them 17 consecutive days.
Exactly.
Yes.
You know, there would never be a problem. There would never be an issue. So the only issue is like, oh, maybe he made smart bets. You know, what is irrelevant? Whether they're smart bets or dumb bets, it's all the same. It's like, it's either okay or it's not okay. And the fact that any casino that waited until those tickets resolved itself and then tried to decide whether they would have action or not, it would be like I walked to a blackjack table. One more analogy. $500 limits, clearly labeled. And I'm betting $2,000 a hand. And they're paying me, you know, they're dealing. But clearly it says $500 limit. But I'm betting $2,000. I play for an hour. I win $100,000. The casino says, excuse me, there's a $500 limit. So we are going to go ahead and we need that $75,000, we're not going to pay you for that $75,000 win. You went above the limit, but you accepted the wagers. That trumps any placard or sign that says that's the limit.
Well, see, the interesting thing is, and what's getting lost in here, I think, is you make a point there about how it's the free rolling, right?
Yes.
So you can't wait to the event to be done before you then decide to, you know, adjudicate. So what we're really, what I think we're kind of getting here is that the casino has some sort of burden on them. What we are kind of saying is to adjudicate it beforehand. This is, again, and may I relate it back to my thing with the Westgate, right? This notion is crazy to casinos. You have to tell the bettors, but you have to contact the bettors beforehand and let them know this is voided. And of course, there is no burden on casinos to do that. So in the end, they're like, what are you talking about? You should have known. But yeah, you free rolled everybody in the meantime.
And the burden of proof has to be on the casino. It's just logical and obvious, not on the bettor. So I'm shocked that the Gaming Commission, no, I'm not shocked because they're in bed with the casinos.
Yeah, exactly.
Clearly.
100%.
Yes.
You're all just our guests around here. Don't ever forget that. Coming back, more with Fezzik. We'll recap all our bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Steve Fezzik alongside during Fezzik Fridays here. We get tweets of beating the books. Scott C. at C. Scotty Books. 17. Hopefully the kid's case goes to higher courts, he says, and ambiguity in casino rules finally gets litigated. Credit to Captain Jack for illustrating the point. 100% absolutely. Thank you to Captain Jack. That was super thorough and super detailed. The numbers guys, hi Gil, hi Fez, We had Elihu Foistel on our show last night. We love Elihu. Been on this show many times. Seems like the crux of the issue was the kid parlayed teams A, B, C, D, and E, and then made the exact same bet repeatedly, which is a violation of house rules. Well, that's just one way to look at it. But Totally Driven Golf says, as Elihu said, under Indiana common contact law, Caesars did not void the bets in a reasonable time frame, only after the bets won. Thus, he believes about a 90% chance for the bettor to win in court. This is going to be fascinating.
And if the kid had bet the Cubs to win the pennant 88 consecutive times, no problem at all, even though that's an exact duplicate of prior.
But that's why I go back to my Atlanta Braves thing against the Mets. Yeah. Plus money, 17 days in a row. No one said a word.
Yep.
No one said a word. Let's go to our, before we continue, because we want to mention something here. Let's recap all of our best bets of the day, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSIN. I am on, and this is all Drew. I'm on American Promise, 16 to 1. My number is not even as good as you can get it now. American Promise to win the Kentucky Derby, the 151st run for the Roses. We shall see. Kelly, on the Warriors tonight, land the points. Warriors trying to close out the Rockets game 6 at the Chase Center in San Francisco. No one ever says it that way in San Francisco. It's always San Francisco. Never say San Francisco. Never say San Fran. It's the city or it's San Francisco. It's your little lesson for the Bay there. Warriors minus 4.5 points from Kelly. He's also on the Cavaliers minus 1.5 in their upcoming best of 7 series against who are they playing? Oh my God, it's escaping my mind now. The Indiana Pacers. Thank you for goodness.
Indiana's better than the Knicks, but the problem is the Cavs might be better than Boston.
Jason Weingarten has a few baseball plays. He's on the Tigers today, laying the wood, minus 177. On the Rays is a big dog at plus 215, and he's taking the Birds, the O's, the Orioles, minus 130. You are also on the Tigers today, right?
I am in it, and Scooball and company, and Scooball we trust. That's steamed up, and it's gone from minus 165, minus 173. It's like as high as minus 190. So you might want to go with a little diversified portfolio. Look for like maybe the Tigers first 5 now that it's a cheaper price and lay minus 180. And that way you just locked into Scooball. Although, but the Angels bullpen's terrible. So they're all going to win.
The Padres start their May festivities today against the Pirates. Drew Dinsick, he's got American Promise to win the Kentucky Derby at 25-1 and Tenma to win the Kentucky Oaks at 12-1. By the way, if you want to see any of Chris Felica's more exotic wagers in the Kentucky Derby, you can follow his Twitter at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A. GBank, the official bank of VSIN, with all of our best bets each and every day on the show. Upping the ante once again with up to $750 in bonuses. Earn 1% on cashback rewards on gaming and sports app loads. Earn 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. For more information and to apply, visit vsin.com/gbank. Anything else you wanted to add about the kid and the $800,000, or we covered that?
I think we got all of it. I do want to mention, I'm always an advocate for the player and the like, and maybe part of this is like this whole, oh, he's sneaking around. You know, it's like this. That's what blackjack, you know, pros do. That's their entire life, is sneaking around casinos, trying to stay under detection. Wearing your hair in a bun or wearing a baseball cap does not constitute, you know, structuring an illegal activity.
Kelly, did you say something in my ear that we needed to know here? Okay. So we have some breaking news. I'm sorry.
Ooh.
Breaking news here. This is that Greg Popovich will no longer be head coach of the San Antonio Spurs, transitioning full-time to team president. Sources told ESPN the iconic Greg Popovich, a basketball Hall of Famer, the NBA's all-time winningest coach, and led the Spurs to 5 championships, has obviously had his share of health issues, above all, transitioning out a great coach of all time. But more than anything, we all hope that he's okay.
Yes.
Obviously dealing with all of that. Greg Popovich at the age of 76 deciding to retire from head coaching, moving into the front office.
I'm shocked there's not more people that do that. You know, it's like, why, what possesses someone to want to be, you know, at some point, you know, how big of a yacht do you want to water ski behind? Just enjoy your life at 70.
Enjoy your life. That's right. Enjoy your life. There is another thing, you know, I don't often talk about promos that we read here, but this one about Circa that I have been, every time I read it, I always stop in my tracks and I'm like, this is amazing.
I got to talk to Derek. I mean, I know he knows what he's doing and all, but this is like the greatest promo, the all-in $400 promo. Tell everyone.
This is it right here. The all-in summer hotel package, $400 all in. This is now through September 4th. You can find out all about this at CircaLasVegas.com. Two-night hotel stay. That includes resort fees and taxes. They don't add that on to the $400. This is $400 all in. Two-night hotel stay, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and a day bed at Stadium Swim. Who doesn't like that? All for $400 all in.
So go ahead and book this right now because they're going to sell out. I'm going to personally guarantee you're going to have a great time. I spend all the time. I'm constantly during the summer texting Jeff Benson. I'm like, just get me a pass for Stadium Swim because after the show, I want to and get me a pass to the gym. I love Circa. I love all the restaurants. I love Barry's. I love their deli. Just the whole vibe, the atmosphere, everyone's invited as long as you don't have kids. And it's, I love the Rose Bowl at dusk and I love Circa Swim actually at dusk when the sun's about to go down and the games are on and the like. It is the time of your life. If you love sports, why would you be, I'm not going to mention any places by name, maybe like dark cavernous sports books where the sun never comes in, you know, by the Las Vegas Country Club. But like that Stadium Swim to watch games right at the sunset and you're just and you hop in the hot tub and it's just like life is good.
Speaking of that cavernous sports book, are you going to enter Westgate's Survivor? You don't do Survivor, do you?
I do it.
Oh, you did. But, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You also invest in other Survivor entries.
I believe strongly the millions and contests like that are more skill-based and Survivor is more luck-based. There's still, you know, certainly a lot of skill involved. But like the bottom line is you're going to have a 7-point favorite. I'm going to have an 8-point favorite. Kelly's going to have a 9-point favorite.
Yeah.
It's like how much of a difference is that really in terms of, you know,
so would you play skill. Both or we'd just play Circus?
It depends on the overlay. If there's an overlay in any contest, that trumps everything.
All right, before we go, there is one more thing that I need to bring up with you. The notion of game sevens. We have a game seven coming up between the Clippers and the Nuggets. That is going to be on Saturday back in Denver. Denver trying to beat the NBA hardos play of the Clippers. With Nikola Jokic and crew, Jamal Murray, one of the more fascinating NBA careers, a guy who's never been an all-star but is a playoff juggernaut. Mm-hmm. Nuggets favored by one. The total here is what I want to talk about, Stevie. It's at 204.5, but it wasn't there to begin with.
No, so it's interesting. So game six, the total's 211.5. The game goes over, all right? Game six goes over. And so, well, game seven probably is going to be about 211 again, right? No, so it opens 209. Because there's some bookmakers that have never booked an NBA game during their entire careers, but yet they're in charge of risk management. But everyone knows game sevens go under dramatically. And so they didn't get the memo. Everyone else did. Now we're staring at 204.5. Think about that. We're 7 points lower than game six and game six went over. So the pros love playing game sevens unders, but at some point we're being taxed out of this one. We can't do it.
It's too low.
Too low.
Too low. But you do, but you are of the, you know, but what you were saying there is a truism, which is game sevens do tend to play lower. That's a thing.
Way lower. Like 5 points lower. Yes.
And so that move reflects that. But you're saying, but it's a bridge too far at this point.
Exactly right. But I do want to address, you hear all the time, oh, Vegas knows. The Vegas odds makers know. Vegas knows nothing. Yeah. Nothing. I mean, like they opened this total to a 9.5, right? Like the first bookmakers, the bettors know everything. The bettors are the ones that hammer these lines into place. And it's like Michelangelo. Yes.
That's one of my favorite sort of because we are immersed in this and we come from a sports betting perspective. But one of my favorite mainstream media things that still exists today when they talk about sports betting is how do they know? How does Vegas know? And when the confirmation bias of that doesn't occur to them, that the, you know, for every one of those that exists, there's 20 others that don't land on the number. It's amazing that they continue this.
Well, it's interesting, too, like the Clippers-Denver series. Like, so the Clippers open up, like, plus 170, you know, at some books. And the money flips all the way to where the Clippers are just a tiny favorite. And now, where they play six games, and despite the Clippers underperforming, you know, in the series, the Clippers are still pick 'em here in game seven. So, it'll be fascinating. I think Denver's going to win.
You do.
Yeah, and well, I got Clippers in the series. I'm in trouble.
NBA hardos will not like that if Denver emerges victorious and knocks out the Clippers. JVT will have something to say about that. Stormy Bonatoni and Jonathan Von Tobel, your two hosts for Money Moves, which always follows this show here at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. That's coming up. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.